The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. And just like that, the Milwaukee Brewers have won 5 straight. And what was that? Ooh.
Hello.
There you go.
There it is. Was that me?
Something. That was me. I think it was a gremlin.
They're good.
Yeah, this is your official, professional opinion of the Milwaukee Brewers. They're good.
And the White Sox, they're bad.
They are bad. Yes.
Poor Aston.
And look, that's how the baseball schedule works sometimes. You get, you know, you get to beat up on bad teams, but you have to take advantage of it. You can't let a team like the White Sox fall into a victory, which they did not this weekend. The Milwaukee Brewers are now 7 games ahead of the St. Louis Cardinals, 7.5 ahead of the Cubs, 9 ahead of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and 10 ahead of the Reds. I believe, and I'd have to check cross-reference and whatnot, I believe that is the biggest lead in Major League Baseball in the divisions right now.
Really?
Certainly in the National League.
Well, they have a tough series coming up. They're playing the best team.
Okay.
Phillies.
Yeah.
So we're going to see how good they are.
We are going to see how good they are. When you say they're good, what makes you think they're good? What have you seen from them recently that you're like, whoo, this is a team that we got to pay attention to?
They're just athletic. I don't think they've ever been this athletic. They can run. Their outfielders cover a ton of ground. They're just good. They're good, and probably the rest of the league doesn't really know it yet, which is fine. Lay in the weeds. But it's going to be interesting at the trade deadline what they do. If they do anything, if they move anyone, if they pick them up. So
I would prefer that they don't move anybody, particularly anybody at shortstop, but we'll get to that conversation as the morning goes on. So they're playing the White Sox yesterday, and things got a little interesting. Look, I think the only person who maybe was hoping that the White Sox would fall into a victory is our guy Ashton, who's back there hanging out in the production office this morning. Good morning, Ashton. Good to see you. Remember last week when you called out for him? Ashton,
yeah, he bailed on me. I needed a little...
with the tall conversation.
Yeah. Where's
my tall ally?
He was celebrity chefing, remember?
That's what you get with a food truck?
Celeb.
I guess.
He's here now, though, so and moral support. Hanging out. So it was interesting because there was a little bit of a fluky situation that occurred with the White Sox and the Brewers this weekend. Tommy Pham, for one, took issue with William Contreras after the Brewers catcher nailed him at the plate. He was gunning for home. I believe it flew out to left, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But let's take a listen to the White Sox broadcast detailing the Pham play from this weekend.
Here's the throw to the plate. He's out. And Contreras is barking at him. Tommy Pham barking back. He's not backing down. He doesn't like that. And now home plate umpire Edwin Jimenez has to hold back Pham. Nah, we ain't taking that. We ain't taking that from the Brewers. I don't care how many L's we got this year. We ain't taking that.
Taking what? The guy was out by a mile. I mean,
we ain't.
I guess
that.
When you're that bad, you got to find something, but holy.
It's just like, I don't know who the broadcaster is very well. He's apparently is a little controversial.
I don't know who it is. Who was it?
What's his name, Ashton?
John Schifrin.
But he's acting like he's out there about to fight himself. We ain't taking that. Who's we? You're up in the booth.
Yeah. And also, sometimes I guess if your team is that bad, you have to resort to bragging about your ability to fight. Is that
so,
how that works?
Was he mad that he thought the catcher was blocking the plate? I mean,
no. So the play at the plate happened. Tommy Pham took an interesting path through the infield to make sure he made contact
through the infield.
Yes, with William Contreras, and Contreras, who had a reason to be upset, said, was barking at him, saying "We got you," whatever he said. But he was celebrating the fact it was a giant play in the game. It would have tied the game. And he was mad that William Contreras had something to say to him.
Yeah, Brewers, I think they had a 4-3 lead at the time. So as you mentioned, it would have tied the game if he does get in there. What about the decision to run at all? The decision to that to me seemed questionable.
Yeah.
I guess the third base coach gave him the send sign, so you can't just be like, no, I don't think I will, right? Like,
yeah,
just have to go. I'm a little torn on how this whole thing shook out, because after the game then, Tommy Pham goes into the locker room, and he's talking about how he also, much like the broadcaster, is ready to fight. Take a listen to this.
There's a shallow fly ball to left field. You would expect the left fielder to throw the base runner out on that play, but the situation of the game, third base coach sends you got to go. I'm nailed out at home by a mile. I'm going to the dugout, and I hear the tough guy with all the hoorah so I'll never start anything, but I'll be prepared to finish it. There's a reason why, I do all kinds of fighting in the off season, because I'm prepared to f*** somebody up. So you can take it as what it is.
You ever see Stripes?
Yes.
Lighten up, Francis.
Yeah.
You'll fight anyone.
But I think the clown show is the broadcaster doing that. We're not taking that. We're not. And then Tommy, after being like, I'll fight anyone and bleep them up. Like, you're a terrible team. You've won 15 games.
Yeah.
So you were in this one. Congratulations on being, for actually showing up from a competitive standpoint as opposed to a participation standpoint. But Contreras is allowed to hoorah.
Sure.
They make a big play. I mean, they get the out.
It's like spiking the ball after a touchdown, I mean, that's kind of in your face to the guy you just beat on the field. It's kind of funny. I fight in the off season. What, MMA or what do you? I mean,
it's very funny to have the opportunity to fight and then shadow box on your way to your position in the outfield and then come in and say, "I'm ready to fight at all times." Well, you had a chance.
Yeah,
you were standing right there.
Sure.
You let the umpire take you away. It's not like that guy's going to physically. If you wanted to fight, get past him.
I mean, I played with guys like this in college and in pro. I mean, I got in a fight the first day I showed up at Boston College because this linebacker was such a tool that everyone hated.
Why did he fight you?
Well, he was trying to intimidate.
Oh, interesting. Maybe we'll have that conversation as the morning goes on.
Yeah.
If there was some, there was an incident in the W this weekend that got a lot of attention. We can talk about that as well. I'd be interested in your position on that. Let's talk about checkpoints for a moment, though, because a lot of times the checkpoint in Major League Baseball, people always talk about Memorial Day, right? You want to see where your team is at Memorial Day. I still think it's too early to be checking standings. Dario, my husband, who is the sports director at Channel 12, was doing a ton of scoreboard watching last night. Ton of it. Oh, what are the Cubs doing? Oh, what are the Cardinals doing? Oh, what are the... I was like, seriously? It's June 2nd. What are we doing? We're checking out to see what other teams are doing? I still feel like there's way too much baseball season left to really be able to invest anything in what other teams do. And Chewy, to your point, the Brewers have a tough series against the Phillies coming up. Are you telling me that they drop two out of the three? Somehow that's an indictment on them as the season
When is seven games safe, though? August?
Well, we've asked Sophia Minner that very question, and she basically says September.
Okay. I mean, it feels good. Seven's a nice number where they're at right now. I would have never thought in a million that they'd be seven up June 2nd or 3rd. I mean, what was the under over in Vegas for win totals? Wasn't it in the 70s?
It was very low.
Like 78?
Let me look it up for you. But I remember us having this conversation and saying, well, you bet the over because usually Vegas is under on them. And they always end up higher.
And they always end up beating up on the bad teams. I'm not sure that we thought that the Reds would be this bad.
I'm at the point of the season to go, I do a lot of check the last 10 games. Are they positive in the last 10 games? How's their record? I will peek at the standings, but I'm not making much of it. But it's, are you winning more than you're losing? And to me, at this, I don't start looking at like the actual division until, August, late August.
Yeah, but this feels like a 90-something win Brewer team, doesn't it?
They are, if you were to play it out, they are a 90-win team right now.
Yes, but also, Chewy mentioned it earlier, are we going to see this version of this team after the trade deadline?
You'd hope.
What are you guys worried about?
What are we worried about?
Yeah.
Willy Adames.
Okay.
Very worried about Willy Adames. Mentioned it on Friday, actually. Very worried that he has priced himself out of a Milwaukee Brewers uniform.
Yeah, but I think if they trade him at that's a bad look. Well, and we talked about it last week.
They bad looked us the last few years. What do they care?
Well, I know. I was asking Joshy. I'm like, when's the last big signing they had? And he said Churio.
100%. Mm-hmm.
But that's not huge in baseball terms. In baseball terms?
For the Brewers, it's enormous.
Yeah. It was a big deal, and it was unique because Jackson Churio had never played in the MLB at that point.
Yeah.
He was the number one prospect for about 2 years running.
Yes.
But prior to that, the last one you can really think of is Christian Yelich and like Lorenzo Cain. That's like the last two that it was seemed like multi-years guys they're building their franchise around.
So are you guys okay not trading him, but he's gone and getting nothing for him, or a compensatory pick or whatever they give for him, let him play out the season, then he's gone? Or would you rather trade him and get some value?
I guess it depends on what your expectations are, again, for the Milwaukee Brewers. And this, to me, is the big conflict that I have with rooting for this team. If you think that Willy Adames is the difference between this team making a deep playoff run and them not making a deep playoff run, you want him on the team late in the year. You want him to be able to do that. If you don't think that they can go to the World Series with this iteration of the team, then I think you do. You are pro-trade away. Continue to get prospects. Continue to get, you know, future draft picks, whatever it is, to maybe put together an even younger team to, you know, win it all later on. That's my big frustration with the Brewers, guys. And I said this on Friday, and this remains the case after there was conversations about Willy Adames over the weekend. My big issue with the Brewers is I'm basically supposed to use the metric of, did I have fun? Did I enjoy watching the Brewers this season? Well, if I did, gosh darn it, it was a success. And I don't know how long you can convince fans that that is the metric that they should be subscribing to. Fans at some point want championships. And I don't know if the way the Brewers operate, they're going to get any. So I'm sort of in that place of, last year I told you guys, I didn't really enjoy the season because I was like, they're going to make a playoff run. This is a team. They're going to do it. Corbin Burns, etc. And then they didn't. And I was mad at myself for not enjoying the baseball season more during the summer months.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just at the trade deadline. If they're, say, 10 up at the trade deadline, I'm almost inclined to say trade for an A or a B level superstar and make a run at it. Because you can't reset every year in the middle of the season, right? Now we're going to trade Adames, get some young players. Next year will be the year. And then over and over. I think people will really be upset if they trade him at the trade deadline.
I think you're right. Do they care about that?
I don't know. It's not Inacio. Is he hearing footsteps? You know? Is he starting to get a little Herb Coley to us? Where it was time for him to go and get deeper pockets? I don't know if we're there yet.
Is there a number, Joshy, that you would feel comfortable with them going out and getting another player? I don't even know if that's in the conversation, to be perfectly honest with you, with this Milwaukee Brewers team going out and getting a guy to put them over the hump, to get them to the World Series. But is there a number of games? Chewy mentioned 10. 10-game lead.
Yeah, and I mean, the division matters in this and how it ends up playing out. Do the Cubs kind of get things in order? Is there any real competition here? I think Chewy brings up a totally fair point. To me, I don't think you can. If you're the Brewers, with what happened with Josh Hader and the collapse of the clubhouse, because we talked about that being an issue right when it happened, and then everyone, to a man almost, in that clubhouse was like, what are we doing here? Why are we trading our best pitcher for planning for the future? Like, we thought this team could do something. Now, could you repeat that again and keep that clubhouse together? Because right now, I think you mentioned it, Jen. You said, it seems like these guys are all having fun. They all really like Pat Murphy's style of ball. So if you do that with Willy Adames, who is like a vocal leader, everyone loves him around there, I just think you would put yourself in a situation where even whatever lead you had, your playoff stint would be short because everyone's looking over the shoulder. Well, they don't believe in us. Our own front office doesn't believe in us. So why are we believing in ourselves?
And that, theoretically, was what went down. There was so much conversation inside the clubhouse. There were so many people going, They dealt away our best player. Like, if you think that we are a championship caliber team, you wouldn't deal away our best player. So like you said, then the doubt creeps in. You mentioned hearing footsteps, Chewy. Then the players are, you know, they're all in their head and stuff. I don't want to lose Willy Adames at all. I think that he has been such a difference maker. Obviously, the big argument for getting rid of him or trading him away, to Chewy, to your point, is going out and getting more assets for future success. And because you have Ortiz at third, most people say you could slide him over to shortstop pretty easily, and there probably wouldn't be that much of a drop-off. But I think Willy Adames's benefit to the clubhouse is probably even more so. Like, if you think everybody liked Josh Hader, I think everybody loves Willy Adames. So how many years in a row are we going to do this thing where the players who have ingratiated themselves, who have built the chemistry, who have built that team camaraderie, Chew, because they've priced themselves out of the Milwaukee Brewers checkbook or paycheck, are just gone? And that's what I'm saying from a fan standpoint is, do you recalibrate your expectations for this team knowing, look, the articles are out there. We sent them in our group text, in our group chat, you know? Well, they don't think they're going to trade Willy Adames at the trade deadline, but even Adonazio was like, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens at the end of the year because he's played so well, essentially saying, we won't be able to pay him. He's going to get a pretty penny on the open market and, you know, nice knowing you. It's just a weird place to be in from a fan standpoint, isn't it, Chew?
But with Hader, you know, I look back now and if I knew at the time they traded him that his agent negotiated his playing time, I would have been fine with it because I don't think that's a good thing at all. I think other guys look at that like, so you're saying if we really, really need you in a tough game, you're not going to play because it's in your contract?
But that was the thing, right?
Yeah. But they could have spun that. Couldn't the team have spun that to take less shrapnel?
Yeah, they could have.
Wonder why they didn't do that.
Out of respect for him? For Hader?
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, he was the greatest reliever, like, statistically ever. Obviously, Mariano Rivera, but, like, in terms of strikeouts and production, it was hard to find anybody as good as him, so you kind of deal with what comes with. And you told him in arbitration, we talked about it, you told him in arbitration, saves are what matters. So he says, all right, I'll play by your rules
but
then.
Let's not forget, we're getting Devin Williams back after the All-Star break, so there's another huge piece. I'm more inclined to say go for it. Hell with it. Go trade for something, an arm or whatever you really, really need. Let's CC Sabathia this thing and make a run at it. Or what are you going to do? You going to do this every year? I mean, eventually you got to go all in, right?
So that's not crazy to me at all because you've been loading up that farm system for how long?
That's true.
You've got
assets.
They're top five pretty much across all of the rankings that you look at. Depending on where you look, you can be as high as top three. So at some point, you are going to have more players than you have a future for on the diamond. That's just a simple matter of the fact.
So you're saying package some of them and go out and get somebody that
Wherever you have depth and guys that are going to be blocked in the majors because there's somebody ahead of them. If they are highly sought after, why not? Even if it's a rental.
I mean, when they got CeCe, that was just to make the playoffs, right? That wasn't to win at all. I don't think they were good enough to win.
I think you're taking a flyer. You're seeing what happens. Yeah, you're throwing spaghetti and seeing what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what they, I mean, correctly assumed at that point was Doug Melvin said, I think this team has it and they can make noise in the playoffs. We just need an ace.
Yeah.
And Chewy, you believe, you have subscribed to the belief that you have to take steps, right? You don't just jump from being a team that has never made the postseason or hasn't made it in years, decades, to winning the World Series. That was the step that the Brewers needed to take. That was that first step towards, okay, going forward, we're going to try to be a perennial every single year in the postseason, as opposed to a team that is always sitting on the couch during October. 800-990-3776. There is a lot of reaction rolling in regarding the Brewers' success, and we mentioned this. They are 36-23 right now. We are already past Memorial Day. What's your next checkpoint? What's your next date on the calendar where you're going, I want to see the standings. I want to check and see how much distance there is between them and the team behind them. And what do you think they should do with Willy Adames? Because as we have mentioned, he is a fan favorite. He is a team favorite. The energy he brought, we knew this when he was coming over from Tampa Bay. This was the book on him when he was with that team as well. It sounds like Adonazio has made offers to Willy Adames. I think that's what came out this weekend that they have made plenty of offers, quote unquote, throughout the offseason in hopes of retaining him long term. But he obviously knows that the more success he has this season, mm-hmm. the more he can
crank paid.
Up that price. And if the Brewers just can't hang with some of the other teams, then maybe Willie is resigned to go somewhere else. 800-990-3776. It is a great time to be a Milwaukee Brewers fan because the Brewers continue winning. In fact, I think, Joshy, you mentioned you look at 10-game windows. I think they're 8-2 over these mm-hmm. last 10 games. And Chu, like you said, tough stretch coming up, but mm-hmm. that's why just go out and win series. Just go out and keep winning series. Keep the momentum going. Our conversation will roll on here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. No Gabe today, but Chewy and I holding down the fort.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Don't you love it? Don't you love it? No, I ain't happy yet. But I'm way less sad.
Chewy rolling on here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee after a big weekend for the Milwaukee Brewers. They have won 8 of their last 10. It is an exciting time to be following this team, and yet it does feel like there is this lingering sense of dread that maybe they won't be able to keep one of their best players, one of their most exciting players, a player that has been called the heartbeat of the team by the general manager. So that's what we're talking about this morning. Are you okay with the Brewers not keeping good players around? Maybe it's the price of doing business when you're a small market team, or maybe, as Jeff Passan told Pat McAfee last week when they were talking about a player on the Pittsburgh Pirates, if you want to pay these guys, you can. If a small market team doesn't pay a guy, it's because they don't want to. Now, the reports are that Mark Adonazio has offered and made many offers to Willy Adames to stay with the team long term. But of course, Willy Adames knows that if he has a fantastic season like he is having, posting the numbers that he is posting, that his price is going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every player owes it to themselves also to at least see how big that number could be. I don't begrudge Willy Adames if he decides to go out there and take money from the highest bidder. I just think that if you're a Brewers fan, this feels like a reality year in and year out. And I'm wondering if it frustrates anyone else like it frustrates me. Let's go out to the phone line. Dan in Sheboygan is waiting patiently to chat with us this morning. Good morning, Dan. Your take on the Milwaukee Brewers.
My take on the Milwaukee Brewers, they have to be aware of who they are. Adonazio is probably one of the, like, in terms of owners, he's probably like in the bottom 25% in terms of assets of what he has compared to apples and their local TV revenue. The Milwaukee Brewers, if they screw up on a $30 million contract, that's a big deal. That's a problem. The Yankees or the Dodgers, it doesn't even faze them if they screw up a $30 or $40 million contract. So the Brewers have to be 100% sure if they do something, or they have to continue to do what they're doing. Just grind it out, win 80, 90 games, and eventually they'll pop up and do some things. I mean, this team, they're winning a lot with smoke and mirrors. They've got a lot of different pitchers. I mean, they have Freddy Peralta and a lot of no-names. Miley's out. Burns is gone. Whitaker's gone for the season. I don't think what they're doing is sustainable for the long run. So if I'm Milwaukee, don't get blinded by the little bit of success that they've had this season and keep the long-term vision in mind. They should be spending big money instead of on Adames. Try to keep one or two starting pitchers around. And don't be spending money on an infielder.
Dan, appreciate the call. I am curious, though, if Dan is okay with that. Like, it's all well and good to know what the reality of a situation is. The question I'm asking is, are you okay with that? Are you okay knowing that a guy could have a season like Willy Adames is having and be called the heartbeat of the team by the general manager and know that the more success he has, the harder it will be for your team to hold on to that player? And look, theoretically, having players like Willy Adames gives you a better chance of winning the World Series, getting to the World Series. So it just feels to me like the Milwaukee Brewers every single year are playing with this roulette wheel where the sliver of World Series is tinier than every other sliver.
Yeah.
We are used to the Milwaukee Brewers making the postseason now, Chu. I think it's like 6 of 7. Mm-hmm. Is it 6 of 7, Joshy? Five of six, something like that. Like, they make the playoffs. They're probably going to make the playoffs again this year, barring a second half collapse.
Yeah. And for the last few years, the strength of the team has been pitching, and that was the biggest concern going into this year, is how was the pitching going to be? Pitching's fine. Could you imagine if we paid Burns what he wanted now? And I don't worry about their defense, their offense. You always worry about the pitching. Can they stay healthy? Our team's going to figure it out. But a guy like Adames, he said he's going to get 20 a year.
Yeah, likely.
I mean, I am fine with him trading to get another great player and letting Adames go at the end of the year. I agree with what Dan is saying. When you're a small market team and you pay a guy $20 million average and all of a sudden you get, that can really dismantle a small market team, but you can't. I'm just saying, at some point in time, years and years, you kind of have to go all in. I don't know if it's this year. Let's see how this, see where they're at the All-Star break. But if they're up 10 and you're feeling real good, throw all the chips in the middle of the table and get aggressive and let's see where this thing winds up.
So the challenge that we have mentioned, and I think we would be remiss to ignore it, is the Willy Adames situation does not exist in a vacuum. And this is what Joshy keeps going back to. Because of the hater situation, and we know how that affected the clubhouse, and it's the same regime. I mean, Matt Arnold mm-hmm. is still there. He was obviously a part of this thing a couple years ago. He knows how that affected that clubhouse. So then the question becomes, should he concern himself with how the Willy Adames potential trade affects the clubhouse? Or should he just be blinders on? I got to do what's in the best interest of this roster. I got to do what's in the best interest of our pocketbook. I cannot be affected by how the hater situation, which was independent in its own way, obviously, but there are similarities, affected the clubhouse and the guys in the second half of the season. Joshy, what say you?
Yeah, it's really hard for me to, while I understand what Dan's saying and it all makes sense logically, if the all-in opportunity wasn't the past 3 years of the Milwaukee Brewers, when is it? Because if it wasn't enough and you had those three aces who seemed to be all playing together, you had a lot of good players on that team, and the offense just simply wasn't there. Right. They didn't show up in the postseason.
The
and they made very little attempt to even improve that. So it feels like people are kind of drinking the Kool-Aid to me to an extent. Well, I can understand small market team, you can't make mistakes, all that, blah, blah, blah. When is that opportunity? Because it feels like every move is just a kick the can down the road, and we're building for the future, we're building for the future, and then when the future gets here, we don't make the necessary moves to go seize a World Series. It doesn't seem like the Brewers, under this current regime, are the go-for-it, the all-in
all
thing.
All-in, yeah.
That just doesn't seem like that's something they're going to be willing to do.
But the player might also might not want to sign here, and it's the Craig Counsell effect. You know, small market team. He's not signing this year. You know, he's too close to the end to become a free agent and go wherever the hell he wants. But you got to be careful. You don't want it's kind of what happened in Green Bay years ago. You know, Tampa Bay guys there, hey, you don't fly straight here. We're going to send you to Green Bay. Remember those days? So you got to be careful with these players. Like I said, with the Counsell effect, like Chicago deeper pockets, I'm probably better off with the potential of winning two World Series rings there instead of in Milwaukee.
So Joshy, what does all in look like for this Milwaukee Brewers team? Like, let's say that this year, Chewy keeps using the 10-game lead at the All-Star break. If you're up 10 games at the All-Star break, or maybe even you're up 10, now we obviously have to worry about the trade deadline, but like, what would the lead be where you would be like, you got to do it. This is the year. You're never going to have a better opportunity. You got young guys. You got Adames. You got some pitchers who are obviously making noise. This is the year to do it. What would that look like for you?
I think it's 10 games or more. I think it's you're competing for the best record in the NL and whatever that ends up being. Now, I don't know what that will be in the division or whatever, but if you're up there with the Phillies and the Dodgers and you're competing with them and it's kind of back, because right now the Brewers are like 4.5 games back. If that carries out throughout the season,
you're talking about in the National League.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If that carries out throughout the season, you have no excuse to think, well, this team can compete with these guys. Now, you can take head-to-head records when you end up playing those teams, and are you on their level? Was it bad runs? Did you just not have the right matchups? But to me, if you're in the top three, make a run for it.
And that means going out and getting a player at the trade deadline to add to.
What do you get? One or two? You get a starting pitcher?
Doesn't it depend on what's out there?
Yeah.
Like what's out there and what you need at the time. Look, we're still, you know, a month plus removed from that. 6 weeks removed from the All-Star break.
I don't know. We just got to sit and see how this thing plays out over the next month.
800-990-3776. Justin Wing in saying, they traded for the home run leader in 21. How do we ignore this stuff in these conversations? It's so annoying. Yes, we are not saying that the Brewers don't add pieces. They have added pieces at times. I think what we're saying is it's frustrating as a fan to know that when a player like Willy Adames performs so well, and he could be a piece that continues to get them closer and closer to the World Series if he were to stay in Milwaukee, the franchise can't do it. They can't pay the guy. Willy Adames is well within his rights to go out and try to get the top dollar out on the free agent market. No one is saying that he isn't. But isn't it frustrating that your team cannot be in those conversations? Doesn't that frustrate you? I mean, unless we disagree that having Willy Adames on the team puts you in a better position to win a World Series or get to a World Series. Hell, I don't even know what people's expectations are now. I'm afraid that there are people who are just happy that the Brewers are a playoff team year in and year out.
I mean, look at the Dodgers payroll, and they have pretty much the same record. Dodgers are 38-23, Brewers are 36-23.
Yeah, and they have a boatload more money.
Yeah, so there are no guarantees. But he's a hell of a player.
And we'd like to see him stay.
We'd like to see him stay, yeah.
But I think a lot of people are resigned to the fact that...
Yeah, they can't pay him.
It will not happen. 800-990-3776 if you want to weigh in on the Milwaukee Brewers conversation. It is crazy to me because it feels like this should have a more jovial, celebratory vibe to it. And yet it is that daunting feeling hanging over the shoulder of, you've got a great player, would probably put you in a better position to do some things in the postseason, and yet you don't know if he could be in the Milwaukee Brewers uniform long term. And that kind of stinks. If you're dreaming of a new home this summer, Great Midwest Bank is here to make it happen with our hassle-free mortgage loans. Your home is more than just a house. It is your future. And Great Midwest Bank prioritizes your dream, ensuring your mortgage process is smooth and stress-free. You know there's lots of stressors in the home buying process, but your mortgage should not be one of them. So apply for a home mortgage loan at Great Midwest Bank, and you will experience a state of banquility when you see how easy the process is. Call my friends at Great Midwest Bank or go to their website, greatmidwestbank.com. That's where you can learn more about their home mortgage loans. Would you be in favor of the Milwaukee Brewers trading for a rental at the trade deadline to try and make a run at the World Series? We put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Chewy is having flashbacks to CeCe Sabathia. 62% of people are saying, yeah, go for it. And that doesn't surprise me. I think Brewers fans do want to see this team go for it at least once. Let's go out to the phone line. Bob waiting patiently to chat with us this morning. Bob in Waterford, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Do you want them to trade for a rental if they are in a good position at the trade deadline to get this team over the hump?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I would like to see it done, but I guess my problem is with this team is we built Miller Park to keep our guys that we developed in the minors and bring them up, and it seems like we're doing the same thing over and over again. We bring them up, they play good, we can't offer them the contract that they probably deserve from a business standpoint. So what's going on with Adames right now, I get a little wound up about this because it's the same thing happening over and over again. Mm-hmm. And now we got a team that I believe can contend, but as I mentioned to a coworker here, I said, I don't believe we can compete with the market teams, the Dodgers. Even if we could get past the Dodgers, can we get past the Yankees? But like I said, we're losing guys that when they built Miller Park, that we said, we're not going to do this. The revenue that's coming in, and everybody knows, if you win in this town, and it's the same thing is going over again. And that's what just gets me a little fired up. So thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah, and I don't think that he's alone. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. It's exciting right now, the success that the Brewers are having. And I want to be able to ride the wave of momentum. And yet there is this voice that says, I mean, can this team do it? Will this team do it? Can the front office continue to put pieces in place to get this team over the hump? I am happy that the Brewers make the postseason. That is better than the alternative. But I think that I am not alone in, come, let's take the step. Chewy always talks about taking steps.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get to the postseason before you can win the first series in the postseason. Then you got to win the first series before you can win the second series. Then you got to win the second series before you can get to the World Series. Like, time to take the step. And I don't know exactly if this team and this management can put the pieces together to do just that. 800-990-3776. I want to pivot to another story that developed this weekend. And that was the revelation that Giannis Antetokounmpo will, in fact, play for Greece in a six-team qualifying tournament from June 2nd through the 7th. So Greece has not been to the Olympics in, well, a while. 2008, I believe. Giannis was 14 the last time that Greece qualified for the 12-team tournament in the Summer Olympics. So yeah, he wants to help his squad. The Olympics don't come around that often. He wants to get the Greece team to the Olympics. He's got a tough row to hoe, as there will only be one team out of that six-team qualifying tournament that will make it to Paris. But of course, Bucks fans were a little bit miffed about this since he missed the last three games of the regular season and the entire playoff series against Indiana with that soleus injury. So, Chew, what is the right decision here? Should Giannis be able to play? Again, we put it on the poll. What was it, Joshy? A few months ago at the end of the season, we put it on the poll. We asked everybody, do you want Giannis to play for the Greek national team in the Olympics this summer? What were the results?
Yes, we posted this on May 3rd, and 61% of people were in favor of him playing. They said, yes, it's his decision.
I don't have a problem with him playing, but I don't want him to qualify. How's that? You think I'm alone?
I don't think you're alone in Bucks Nation. I think that there are a lot of people who do want to see him rest up as opposed to putting more miles on his legs in the offseason.
I just think if he's going to play, I mean, he's coming to a point where you kind of have to change your game because his game is reckless a little bit, right? And he's creeping on 30. It's not like you're 24, so you're susceptible to more injuries. I mean, but on the flip side, he can't just not play basketball the whole offseason. That's not how that. It's like lifting weights for football players. He's got to keep his game sharp and stuff like that. It's just, if he's going to play, I would just say don't be as reckless, you know?
Isn't that his style of play, though?
It is, but
so
I mean,
so isn't it hard to sell a guy? Yeah, like, it is. Don't it play is. The way that you play.
But I mean, that's, like I said, the older you get, injuries start creeping in. That's why you get calf pulls. That's why you get strains and things like that. So I'm kind of torn. I mean, it's ultimately his decision, but I mean, we're going to sit there holding our breath throughout the Olympics if Greece, you know, qualifies.
Does he owe the Milwaukee Bucks? Does he owe the Milwaukee fan base anything? Does he owe them a healthy season next year? Does not playing in the qualifying tournament and then ostensibly in the Olympics, which are from July 26th through August 11th. I'm not sure when the basketball portion of that is, but that is the window. Does that put him in a better position to be healthy for the season? Look, the NBA has already come out strongly against load management,
mm-hmm.
right? They don't want the superstars sitting because they want families who buy the tickets to be able to see the superstars when they roll through their town. I understand that from a business standpoint. But the number of injuries that we saw, Joshy, this year in the playoffs for every team dealing with a superstar at one time or another, that list was long.
Yeah.
It's not just a fluke. Can't just be a fluke. Not just everybody is coming up with these random injuries. I think part of it is the workload. So how do you reconcile if you're the NBA? We don't support load management. However, we want our superstars to be playing at the most important time of the season. Feels like we're at an impasse here.
Yeah, and the NBA, like as a whole, is at an impasse. We're seeing the younger teams right now, like the Oklahoma
Pacers.
Yes, all these young teams that are kind of taking over for the older guard, who are guys that now, when you look across the board, are all missing significant parts of the season. Like in a vacuum, I totally agree. Giannis should be able to do whatever he wants. He's competing for his country. There's pride and honor in that. But the other fact is, as Chewy said, he's getting older. So at what point does he need to taper back the actual gameplay so he can be available for the season to make those runs? We know he's a a fearless competitor. There is no dial it back for Giannis because the recklessness is sort of his game to an extent. He's going to go all out. He famously does it in All-Star games. So it's hard to, at what point does he have to have like a conversation like, this just isn't me anymore. I know I want to do this, but at this point, with two postseasons in a row with missing significant time, how do you square that circle? What happens, and where does it come to the factor of I just simply physically can't do this anymore?
I mean, how many games are we talking about? 20 total
between with the qualifying
round
and
the Olympics.
It's a 6-team tournament, so
the problem is the only chance they have at qualifying and getting a medal is if Giannis plays out of his mind. Because my guess is Greece doesn't have a lot of superstars on it, where other countries do.
It's him and his brothers.
Yeah, so is it... Is he going to feel he needs to carry the torch and push himself a little too far?
Yeah, like, but
on the flip side,
he
does have to keep his game sharp. He just can't not
play
the whole time.
But like, what are the minutes restrictions? If they're in a do-or-die game in the championship of the qualifying or however it's structured... Is Giannis going to play 40-plus
minutes?
And
we all know at times Giannis has to be saved from himself.
You are doing a great job of that Randy Travis song, On the Other Hand, right now. On one hand, but on the other hand. That's what I'm hearing from you. So you don't know. That's the thing. Like, you want him to have agency over his own performance.
Well,
you
if he gets hurt, Jen, it's a bad decision.
Okay. Wait and see how it shakes out.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, right? Sometimes we say to our kids, like, take your coat, right? You'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it, right?
Yes.
I would rather... At the end of the season, I would rather have Giannis healthy and him forego the Olympics or forego an Olympics run. Now, he may think he can do both. But when he hasn't played at a high level in the offseason, his body has broken down on him. So are we thinking that we are going to be training so significantly differently, Joshy, that he can play in this off-season tournament and his body will somehow miraculously be able to handle that load plus the regular season?
It's hard to...
Unless you think the injury was fluke and it was just like, it could have happened at any time. It just happened to happen towards the end of the season and had him miss the postseason.
It's hard for me to see how the past two playoffs have played out and think... I mean, if you go back to where they won the championship, Giannis sustained also a serious injury that we all thought he was going to be out for the rest of the playoffs and he miraculously played through it. Now, the duration of these injuries and the fact that, like... I mean, let's be honest here. That injury, he wasn't doing anything incredible. So was it just a fluke, or was it the stress of the season and him playing through? Because
he was Joshy having Achilles issues.
Yes,
in 30, around 30 is, you know, for professional athletes, you're getting into that Achilles tear time. I mean, we saw it in the NFL last year. I mean, that's just one of those things. Mine were real bad at 30. So, I don't know.
I understand the lure of the Olympics. I understand how it only comes around, you know, every once in a while, every 4 years, famously. I understand wanting to have that gold medal or at least compete for a gold medal. But I also think that the way things have shaken out, it feels irresponsible. It feels like I know that my availability at the end of the season has put this team in a bad spot. And how can I ensure my availability? Well, I can't. I can't guarantee that I'll be available. But not running through a tournament and playing at a high level in the offseason feels like a path towards at least getting closer to it, right? I can't guarantee it one way or another. I can't guarantee that if Giannis goes out and wins the tournament that he will get injured in the regular season or towards the end of the regular season. I can't guarantee the opposite. Like, that's why this is such a crapshoot. I also think that, like, he has that mindset of, I can do anything.
Yeah.
Which is what you have to have in order to be able to play at the level that he has played. So I think there's a part of him that's like, last year was a fluke. I want to go out and compete for my country. It makes sense. I also think that Giannis has that, like, he has such a connection to Greece. He wants to pay them back for what Greece has done for him,
sure,
you know, in supporting his family. And I understand.
But if you have no chance of meddling, then why do you do it?
Well, but like you said, it's going to be a tough road to hoe to even get out of the tournament.
Sure.
So maybe he competes in it. He can say he did his very best, but they didn't make it to the Olympics. And therefore, could he still, Joshy, if they make it to the Olympics, could he pull out and not play in the Olympics? That seems far-fetched, but I suppose if it came down to a load management decision.
I mean, he can do whatever. Like, you could also just say I'm injured or not healthy enough, I suppose, but
I don't think that's in his DNA.
No. If he can go, he can go.
Yeah.
That's just Giannis. Like, that's him to his core. If he can go, he's going. I don't see if they make it. I think he's competing as much as he physically can.
800-990-3776. I think this is another tricky spot for Milwaukee sports fans because everybody loves Giannis and everybody wants to see Giannis have success in all of the things just because of the journey he's been on, the loyalty he has shown Milwaukee, et cetera, bringing them a title in 2021, all of the things. So I think it's hard for people to criticize Giannis. And I think in this instance, we all know in our gut what the right decision is. And that is for Giannis not to compete for the Greek national team in this play-in tournament and potentially in the Olympics. And yet, nobody really wants to tell Giannis that he shouldn't do it. And here we are. All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Speaking of Giannis, you can tune into Thanalysis Show every single week. Bucks player Thanasis Antetokounmpo sits down with special guests to have fun and honest conversations. Conversations with NBA stars Damian Lillard and Donovan Mitchell, just to name a few. And big name guests are already signed up as part of Season 2. Find Thanalysis Show today on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And subscribe to the Thanalysis Show YouTube channel for accompanying videos and special content.